Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
I'm Ryan Yamamoto. It is a party out there. Take a look at the crowds. When Chopper 5 flew over the festival about 2 hours ago, it is packed. More than 200,000 people are expected for that three-day event. KPXY's Max Darrow checked out the festival, even heard from one of the performers.
Outside Lands is back in full swing.
Outside Lands, baby.
Excited for music, good food, good drinks.
Annalise Arroyo is there for the first time. She snagged the spot as close to the stage as she could.
It's really amazing. Like, a lot of artists that I really wanted to see are here. And, like, from just looking at the general set list, I was able to find a bunch of new artists that I really like.
More than 100 artists will perform across 9 stages at Outside Lands over the course of the 3-day festival. That includes first-timer Sloan Struble, a.k.a. Dayglow.
Performing at Outside Lands, that's a big deal, man. I mean, this is one of the biggest music festivals in the country.
No, totally, yeah. It's an honor to be here. Still blows my mind, but yeah, really excited.
Why is it an honor to be here at Outside Lands?
It's just, yeah, it's like a good festival with a lot of good history and a lot of amazing artists on this lineup, and it's just cool to be a part of.
This year, there are no COVID-related safety protocols in place, but Arroyo still decided to wear a mask.
I have, like, other things that I'm going to have to go to sooner or later, and so I just wanted to play it safe.
Others less concerned about COVID, though initially a bit spooked about monkeypox.
I got tripping on monkeypox last night, and my girlfriend said, don't worry about it, and I guess, you know, I did enough Googling, so I'm not really worried about monkeypox. I just finished having COVID, so I'm ready to go.
This morning, I woke up to hear about the US on monkeypox, so I was a bit like, oh, wow, about that. But COVID, I'd say, like, I've learned to live with it now.
The festival also celebrates Bay Area culture. 96 local restaurants, 36 wineries, and 30 breweries are participating in Outside Lands this year.
Weekend passes are all sold out, but individual single-day tickets are still available if you're interested. Coming on down to Outside Lands. In San Francisco, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
Well, if you headed down there, here's a look at the traffic around 19th Avenue. If you plan on driving to Outside Lands or around the Golden Gate Park area, it's going to be pretty crowded down there.
Just slightly.
Just a little bit.
And if you want to take a closer look at who's playing, you can just go to our website, kpix.com.
And there's now a legal block on construction of student housing in People's Park in Berkeley. An appellate court has just imposed an injunction. It stops UC Berkeley from all construction, demolition, and tree cutting at the historic site. Protesters have been fighting to keep out crews starting work on the housing project for students and low-income residents. Earlier this week, 7 people were arrested. 2 officers were injured as demonstrators squared off with construction crews and police. In a statement, UC Berkeley says they're satisfied with the court's decision allowing them to close and secure the site, and the campus is assessing options to get that done in a safe and effective way. The university also says it remains committed to solving their student housing crisis.
Protesters at Oakland's shuttered Parker Elementary are vowing to continue to try to occupy that building. Things got ugly yesterday when the district tried to change the locks, where parents have been running an unsanctioned summer program since June. Tensions escalated after security guards were called in. Video shows a physical struggle between guards and parents trying to retake control of the school. One parent was detained and put in handcuffs, and more than 10 people received minor to moderate injuries.
We have never, not once, threatened the lives or the well-being of any board member, any security officer, or nobody, because that's not what we're doing here. We come in peace. We come in peace, and we want to continue to create peace.
Parker is one of the 11 schools OUSD voted to permanently close because of a lack of funding. But parents have said the closures are discriminatory and will disproportionately impact Black and Latino students. Oakland Unified released a statement saying, quote, the individuals at Parker have been and continue to trespass. We have directed them to leave from day one and have continued to do so on many other occasions.
Businesses in Oakland's Little Saigon neighborhood are fed up with the increasing crime in their neighborhood. Just last week, at least 7 shops were robbed in and around International Plaza on the same night, and it took police hours to respond. As KPX5's Da Lin tells us, business owners are now taking things into their own hands.
Fed up business owners say they can't rely on the Oakland police, so they had a meeting to come up with their own solutions.
After the first alarm went off, it took Oakland police close to 3 hours to respond to multiple burglaries at a strip mall in Oakland's Little Saigon district.
Shocked. Kind of mad.
Not just mad at the thieves, but also mad at the police.
I just want to know why they came like 2 hours later.
V&J Fusion restaurant owner Simon Liu says the slow response sends an invitation to burglars to hit up all Oakland businesses.
Police is not really reliable, you know? Like, call them, they don't come.
Surveillance footage shows on Monday morning, a group of people cut holes and entered most of the businesses from the roof. The first alarm went off at 4:32 a.m. The alarm company sent a notification to the Oakland police. A police spokesperson says because they get so many alarm notifications, the alarm that came from this laundromat was placed on a low priority list. Police say a Cantonese speaker called 911 at 6:11 a.m. Because of the language barrier, officers thought the burglars had already left. So that call was also placed on a low priority list. Surveillance footage shows the burglars ransacked all seven businesses and left around 6:30, 2 hours after they first broke in. They took their time, even with the alarm blasting. Oakland police showed up at 7:24 a.m., almost 3 hours after the first alarm was tripped and more than an hour after the first 911 call. Oakland police say officers were handling multiple shootings on Monday morning, including two major incidents from Sunday. They say they sent the officers as quickly as they could. They say the response time to the strip mall was actually decent compared to other burglaries.
I think it's really sad that it takes such a long time for the police to respond.
They promise us.
Jim Nguyen with the Unity Council and the business owners met with a law enforcement expert on Friday to prevent future burglaries. They're looking at gates at the small plaza and adding big bright lights for nighttime visibility.
We're talking to business owners about having network camera. Network lights.
While Simon believes the meeting was useful, he says they need the police to do better.
We're just all small business trying to make it, you know, and we definitely need protection because when incidents like that happen, people are scared to come over here, and that's bad for business.
Given the recent robberies and shootings in the Little Saigon district, Oakland police assigned a liaison officer to this area. They're down 73 officers. Right now, they have 653 officers in the city. In Oakland, I'm Da Lin, KPIX 5.
Sonoma County health officials issued a warning today about a recent uptick in monkeypox cases. There are now 17 confirmed cases, up from only 6 10 days ago. Health officials say the county only received 820 doses of the vaccine to date. So the key is until they can get more is prevention. This week, both California and the Biden administration declared monkeypox a health emergency, a move which is expected to boost vaccine supplies. The San Francisco Department of Public Health just announced the city will receive more than 10,000 doses of the monkeypox vaccine from the federal supply. This is more than double the previous two allocations. SF General Hospital's walk-in clinic will reopen next Tuesday to provide doses, and Kaiser, UCSF and Sutter will also provide vaccine appointments. Representation on the silver screen can inspire generations, and today that's the goal for several Bay Area nonprofits serving the AAPI community. They're buying out theaters in San Francisco so underserved kids can watch Filipino-American stand-up comedian Joe Coy's newest film, Easter Sunday.
Going to the movies is an experience we can all enjoy. But today, some city youth are being treated to an even more enjoyable and exclusive experience. They're witnessing representation on the big screen they've likely never seen before.
Can't wait. Kind of psyched.
I'm excited. I'm super excited. You know what I mean? I'm trying to hold my smile.
Asian American and Pacific Islander nonprofits like Asians Are Strong, Gold House, and others bought out several theaters for underserved youth. They're watching Easter Sunday, which features Filipino-American stand-up comedy sensation Joe Coy. It's about a man who returns home to celebrate Easter with his loud and loving Filipino family.
Joseph, are you coming for Easter?
I don't know, Mom. I'm really busy. I just tested for this pilot.
You're going to be a pilot?
A network pilot for, like, a TV show.
Ah, you're playing a pilot on the TV show.
No, a lawyer.
You could have been a lawyer if you only applied yourself.
Like his comedy, Coy's new movie celebrates his Filipino heritage and works to bridge gaps and create cultural understanding. The movie stars a nearly all Filipino cast. Locals say representation like this is important for those in the AAPI community.
Putting Daly City, the Bay Area, on a map is amazing.
When my mom came to this country, there was absolutely no representation. You know, there was no Google, there was no Facebook, there was no Instagram. She had to find her community.
The film is set in Daly City, where 2 weeks ago, Coy was given the keys to the city.
The key represents opening doors, literally bringing others along with you.
Coy says families everywhere can relate to the story.
In no way do I want to be like, okay, only Filipinos, because that's not what I'm trying to show here. I'm trying to show the world that it's like, this is a movie about a family that you know about. You know these people. You work with these people.
Now, Coy shared a story about how when his mother came to the U.S., there was no representation of her community in the media, and now it's her son who is making that change. Pretty special.
Now at 7 Point, Reyes iconic cowgirl creamery announced that today that September 5th will be their last day of business. The shop spent the last 25 years as a go-to spot for top-notch grilled cheese sandwiches. I had a few. A company director said the creamery struggled to scale production at the Point Reyes locations, leading to the closure. You still get that stuff at the in the stores. So the shop will now primarily focus on production at their Petaluma facility. The cheese still sold in stores.
We've seen what can happen in burn scars like the one left behind in Alpine County, where flooding and mudslides have ravaged some areas for days now. Now, after the recent flash flood, crews working to reopen Highway 89 near Markleyville said they worry about the areas like that on it. One of those being the burn scars of the Caldor fire in El Dorado County. Caltrans removed more than 10,000 hazard trees along Highway 50 in the footprint of the fire, but it's still not an easy project.
Part of the difficulty with an emergency contract is you don't have things planned and designed. So you'll go into it and find things that you didn't know were there. You know, there might be another 100, 200 trees that we didn't assess on the first go around that we were like, okay, we got to do something about this.
Now, progress has been made in El Dorado County in those steeper areas among the burn scars, new growth and vegetation, which is critical to prevent those dreaded mudslides. A breakthrough in science that could make more organ transplants possible. Researchers at Yale University were able to restore blood circulation in pigs 1 full hour after their deaths. The experiment also restored blood flow in multiple organs, suggesting that cells may not die as quickly as scientists originally thought.
So if the same thing can be done in humans, then there's the potential that many more organs can be preserved for life-saving transplants. With the current supply of donor organs extremely limited, the research could bring new hope to millions of people on that transplant list. That is amazing technology there.
It's incredible what they're coming up with. Every single year, it feels like we do another story like this, and just these amazing scientists and doctors are coming up with new ways to save lives. It's pretty unbelievable. Well, thank you for watching. The news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area.
We'll see you back here at 11.